Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Robots could be the reality for many manufacturers by the end of 2022. According to data by IDC, 50% of manufacturers will accelerate the deployment of service robots to better manage specific operational tasks, leading to 15% cost reductions and improved supply chain responsiveness. The acceleration has been driven by the COVID-19 pandemic. And this is just one of the trends that will be discussed at the Logisim Asia Pacific Conference 2021, which takes place next week on May 19th and May 20th. To find out more, we're joined now by Dr. Christopher Holmes, Managing Director for IDC Insights Asia Pacific. Christopher, welcome to the show and thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
You'll be joining us at Logisim Asia Pacific next week. Can you share with me, what are some of the key issues that you think are facing the industry at the moment that you'll be seeking to highlight at Logisim Asia Pacific 2021?
So I think it's going to be a very interesting conference, Rachel. I think you know, one of the things we've really seen is that supply chains, manufacturing, retail has really gone through a reset over the last 12, 18 months. And so as a result, I think there's a whole host of things that we really need to address. I mean, everything from looking at visibility, you know, so how do we actually manage the supply chain? How do we actually look backwards and see what's happening to our parts, our materials, and where things are in terms of that logistics chain? But also thinking about demand, because, I mean, again, think about the impact that COVID has had on demand. I mean, we've seen certain things sort of rocket in requirements, other things have dropped off completely, you know, and again, you know, our supply chains are finely balanced beasts. And so I think that's going to have be a very interesting conversation. But also talking about new ways of operating. I mean, I think one of the interesting things that's come from this has actually been how organizations have had to change in order to continue operating. But they're learning from that, and then they're going to actually keep that change as we move forward. So I think there's a whole host of things, you know, that are going to come up for discussion, and that organizations are really interested in understanding, you know, what other people have done and how they've actually embraced that change and, you know, what they're going to do going forward.
Can you share some examples of that, Chris, how businesses have managed to balance, as you call it, that finely balanced beast?
So, again, I mean, in terms of actually balancing supply chain, I wouldn't say it's much balanced. I think that's what we're actually aiming to achieve. I mean, we've obviously seen a lot of focus around organizations looking at visibility. I think this is one of the key things. I mean, when the pandemic first hit, I mean, really, people struggled, most organizations struggled to see past that sort of tier one supplier. And they really didn't know whether they were going to get the parts or the materials for them to actually continue operating. I mean, the retailers didn't know where their shipments were. You know, they didn't know whether they were actually coming, you know, had actually been made, whether they were in transit, whether they were stuck at a port, etc. So we've seen a huge interest in actually organizations really looking at trying to get that visibility and looking at getting that visibility past tier one into tier two, tier three. So I think that's some sort of some of those focus areas around that. But then also, as we talked about, that demand signal, looking at how we're actually going to get better indicators as to what customers are actually buying. I mean, some of the things we've also seen really come out around new ways of operating.
Right.
With some of the rules that have come in where we've got to maintain distance between people. I mean, factories weren't designed for that. So there's been a whole pivot as to how we can actually continue to operate. And some of the interesting dynamics there have been, you know, the adoption of robotics. We can talk about automated guided vehicles, you know, across factories, but also you're seeing it in shops, in hotels, everywhere, as people have actually sought to reduce the density of workers so they can actually comply with the regulations but continue to operate.
And, you know, that's interesting, Chris, because I have to admit, we're science fiction fans in my household. And I recently watched, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the show, it's called Electric Dreams. It's based on a science fiction novel series. And it explores various futuristic and dystopian narratives. But one episode in particular caught my attention. It's called Autofact, and it explores automated manufacturing and supply chains. And the reason I talk about that, when you mention robotics and AI, for many people who may not be in the supply chain industry, some of these concept of drones and, you know, automated supply chain delivery services or within warehouse may be something that they feel is far off in the future, more of a futuristic scenario. But the reality is, as you mentioned, these technologies are part of our supply chains today, and businesses are pivoting and investing towards these types of digital solutions. Can you talk to us about some of the stats that I believe there's a recent IDC report, and one of the statistics was, I think, by the end of 2021, 90% of all manufacturing supply chains will have invested in technology and business process to improve resilience. So maybe share with us what all of this means for productivity and resilience for these companies, and what exactly are we talking about? Yeah,
so that's a really, really good question. And again, I mean, it's interesting whenever we talk about almost that factory of the future. I mean, I remember as an engineering student 30 something years ago, you know, talking about the lights out factory and how it was going to be fully automated and we were going to have these multifunctional robots and we'd just be able to sort of input a design and then out the other end would come a part and, you know, and it would actually be delivered to us by drone, etc. Whereas I think some of these things have actually come true, you know, we're still a long way from that. I mean, I visit a lot of factories, a lot of plants, and when we actually look at certain levels of automation do actually exist, but we're seeing a much greater progression towards almost this cobots, humans and robots actually working together, because there's certain things robots are very, very good at, but then there's certain things humans are very, very good at, and actually bringing the two together is really what's going to drive that productivity. I mean, just here in Singapore, for example, the HP has a manufacturing plant that's just been awarded lighthouse status from the World Economic Forum for its manufacturing capabilities. And when you go and visit that factory, you see it's a combination of robots and humans together. I mean, there are AGVs, automated guided vehicles delivering the parts around the factory, but then there's also humans in there doing the work that they're best at, but then you've also got the robots. But there's also adoption of artificial intelligence, for example, in some of the inspection processes. So again, I think it's getting there, but we're still a long way away from that. I mean, if you think around 3D printing, I mean, the idea was we were all going to be mini manufacturers in our home. You know, that was what was touted 4 or 5 years ago, and yet we're still a long way away from that. So I think it's more of an evolution rather than a revolution in terms of what we're actually seeing in terms of this adoption of new technology. There's never going to be that massive earth-shattering change that's going to, you know, we're going to have that complete lights out factory, etc. But your other point around resilience, and I think this is an interesting one, because typically when we talk about resilience across the supply chain, people start to think about putting in buffer stocks. Yeah. You know, we start to actually invest more and have that inventory as various parts across the supply chain, which obviously leads to increased cost. I mean, what we're suggesting when we look at resiliency is that notion of being able to withstand shocks. And so, but instead of actually looking at putting in place that inventory, we're suggesting that when you actually start to use data, I mean, we talked about the visibility earlier on, you can actually be in a better position to actually withstand those shocks, because you actually know and have control over that entire supply chain. So we don't think that when we talk about resiliency, it's actually going to see that drop in productivity or profitability.
Because you actually talk about, I think there were some of the stats you mentioned, the increase in revenue as well. There was another stat here, one of the IDC predictions that I found interesting was that while while they're facing disruption, manufacturers will digitally transform and accelerate sustainable innovation to improve supply chain operations from concept to commerce. And you highlight that this could actually increase their revenue by 20% by 2025. So where are we looking at these additional revenue streams? Does this come with streamlining supply chain lines and the way in which things are being conducted by businesses?
So yeah, I mean, I think there's the whole focus. I mean, you know, as manufacturers and supply chains, we always have that drive for efficiency, and it's always number one in, you know, every survey that I've run over the past 13, 14, 15 years. It's always number one. It's top of mind, because that's very, very easy to measure. But I think the other thing is starting to actually look at how we can actually innovate. And when we talk about sustainable innovation, again, we're talking about that ability to create an organization that is going to be able to continually develop new products, new services. And I think, again, as we started to talk around the data and the new technologies, it's those kind of things that are where we're going to see that innovation come in. And we're doing some very interesting work at the moment around looking at this transition, if you like, from a supply chain to much more of an ecosystem. And this idea of actually having these ecosystems that are going to come together to actually satisfy that customer, consumer, citizen demand at the front end. And again, it's, if you think about the best example, say buying a car, you go and buy a car, you can do it online now, but at the same time, you can actually do that registration with the government, you can buy the insurance, you can do the financing, right. You can specify some of those other features, functions that you actually want with that. And each one, but it's at that single point of interaction with the customer. But then all those data flows then go back across the different partners within that ecosystem. So this is how we think there's going to be that next wave of efficiency and revenue generation, as we start to see this shift from purely transactional to much greater sharing of data and this ecosystem approach.
Chris, what does all of this mean for consumers?
Well, ideally, the consumer will have a better service and a much better way of actually interacting, and a much better customer experience.
Right.
I mean, certainly at the front end. I mean, when we start to talk about, and for example, the car buying example, you know, if I can do everything within one web page, one website, and actually do everything at once, and the data is shared across, you know, I can actually complete that purchase in, you know, a number of clicks, as opposed to the, you know, trying to go through different streams and connections that we have to today. So I think that's one from the customer experience. The other thing is as we actually look at, see this data shared across that supply chain and across that ecosystem, the whole thing there is going to be around actually ensuring that we have the supply of goods. Again, I mean, as the consumer at the front end, we see, you know, the products on the shelves in the supermarkets. But what we don't see is the whole mechanism that is behind that. And I think, you know, as we actually start to think around, okay, what are we actually doing? We want to ensure that supply. So again, there can be a truck breakdown, there can be an issue at a port, there can be, you know, something like sewage. We can actually respond to that and ensure that there is that continuity of supply. So again, you know, if things get stuck, Suez gets blocked, we can fly products over to ensure that we actually have, you know, the things on the supermarket shelf to satisfy that customer consumer. So I think it's all around that customer consumer experience.
Wonderful. Well, Chris, thank you so much for sharing all of those insights with us. And perhaps this will also mean lower costs for consumers as well. Here's hoping and wishful thinking from my end anyway, but always great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Rachel. Great to be here.
We've been speaking with Dr. Christopher Holmes, Managing Director for IDC Insights Asia Pacific. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.